one at a time.
Guard troops making their way to the Arizona border, but will it be enough? Wait till you hear the conditions at those Iowa farms. It'll make you want to get sick when you realize how so many people were able to get salmonella as a result of tracing the eggs back to these two Iowa farms. Shocking stuff, I'm telling you, even for me to read about it. Also, when it comes to sanctions, the U.S. is good at issuing those sanctions. This time, it's about North Korea. Will they balk? What happens there? And coming up this hour, a great conversation with Kathleen Koch. Remember her from CNN? She was on CNN probably two decades, on how Mississippi was overlooked in remembering the disaster that was Katrina 5 years ago. A lot of people in the Gulf Coast not happy with Obama and the fact that this is the second year in a row since he's been the president that he hasn't made the reference to Mississippi or some of the parts of Alabama that were ravaged by that hurricane, or hasn't visited those areas during the tour back to talk to people about reconstruction and what's happened and whatnot. So we'll have a conversation with Kathleen here in another half hour or so. But before we jump to that, really the biggest story has to be the text I got earlier in the day, and some of you might already be aware of the story. You know, we talk about terrorism so often on America Tonight, unfortunately. Now you got two guys that are in the Netherlands who might have been trying to test a mock bomb. Here's what happened. They were going from Chicago to Amsterdam, and they had bottles with electronic wires and stuff attached in a checked bag. So they were taken into custody when they landed on that flight from the Windy City. Both guys are held at the were being held at the airport because of the Dutch National Police getting the warning about the two of them. So were they dangerous? What they had in and of themselves as far as in the suitcases? No. But it was obvious that they were jimmy-rigged crude devices to see if they could get them through if it was a real bomb. They were an empty shampoo bottle and had watches attached to it, an empty bottle of stomach medicine with mobile phones attached. That's what it looked like. And, of course, the concern is they were testing a future terror plot, and they were trying to sneak the explosives on the plane. And this is what happened before, if you remember, in London that led to the liquids being banned when you go to the gate and you got to throw your water out, or they look for shampoos, little bottle shampoos, whatever it is. So that banned all but small quantities of liquids from aircrafts at all. So it's kind of convoluted at this point because the investigation is going on and there's not much information coming out of the government. But the men were on a United Airlines flight from Chicago to Amsterdam. And the two guys that were on the flight, Ahmed Mohammed Nasser and Al Sofi and Hazim Al Mazuri, and they started their trip in Birmingham, Alabama. The one guy originally flew from Memphis. And they were stringing something together. It's pretty obvious. It's just a question of more of the ties and how they flushed this whole thing out. We know that there was at least one of the bags that they were looking at, and they were seated next to each other on the flight. They, they're looking into whether they were traveling together or they had the same itineraries, all that kind of stuff. So, in other words, it's being flushed out. But here we go again. Here we go again. So they got on a plane from a U.S. city, flew to Chicago, and no one thought this was a problem because they had the stuff with them. Then they get on a plane in Chicago to Holland, and no one thought this was a problem either. They were only arrested when they got to the airport. I don't know. It does seem a little bit crazy. So let's just put it this way. If you were worried before about security, you should still be worried. If you're looking for protection, you got to protect yourself, obviously. You know, it's like the it's like what happened on 9/11. Sure, the red flags went up, but, you know, give me a break on how this was able to occur from those two other cities. I mean, are you kidding me? So once again, what does this demonstrate? I can think of a couple of things. And is it a win for Homeland Security? Well, it's a win that the threat level was enough, or this dry run was caught in the act. But how many other dry runs are going on at the airports right now? You know, not for nothing, I'm definitely not a fear monger, but as somebody who travels, I think it's frightening to hear that here we go again. And you think of what happens in the shakedown that you get at the airport. So it's these people who are lying in wait, waiting for their shot to do something that scare the crap out of me. And this is an example. And the men flew Chicago, Amsterdam, and at least one of the bags went Chicago, Dulles. And so there's some crazy things that happen here. The empty bottles with the attached things to them were checked and not carried on. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've lugged a bag that had to go through security, you know, x-rayed and all that other stuff before I took it back to the counter and then it was able to go onto the plane. And this has always been my contention. If there was a way to get to a plane next, I never thought of the underwear thing, but it would seem to me that you would try to do it with the checked luggage. And so that's what they were trying to do. My, oh, my. And we're going to talk about those guard troops going to the border in Arizona. Now, the additional troops have been sent. It was part of that initiative, if you remember. We talked about it probably a month or so ago on America Tonight. About 30 National Guard folks started the deployment as part of this border protection plan. What they can do is just help as far as spotting people, but not going after them. This was part of that $600 million in border security funds. Remember, there was going to be 1,500 new border security agents. But until all that kicks in, there were these National Guard troops that were supposed to be deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border. It's taken a long time for that to happen. And as you know, some of the top folks in Arizona say it's not enough, like Senator John McCain and the Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. They're saying that there's not sufficient security along that border area, and the $600 million in the emergency funds and the idea of deploying some more people is helpful, but nowhere near what has to happen for the place to be safer and not let so many people come in running drugs and guns and people and everything else. To re-racket that bill means, as I said, 1,500 new agents. They also are going to have the drones. There was a crazy drone accident, by the way, in Texas I'll tell you about. And then $14 million of it's going to go for new communications equipment like walkie-talkies and that sort of stuff. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, if you want to throw in your 2 cents. Stay with us. More Around the Bend.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Roger Clemens in Washington. Why were they following him? Not because he's so interesting. They followed him because they wanted to see what happened when he went into the courtroom to lay down his plea, if you will. And he did that. He put his right hand on the lectern. He leaned down toward the microphone and said, "Not guilty, Your Honor." Here's the thing about this. This was an arraignment hearing. It lasted, all of 15 whole minutes. Just kind of a ceremonial thing, if you will, at the federal courthouse. So now, April 5th, is the start of jury selection. And this is when the would-be Hall of Famer will go through the process, the legal process. You can see Barry Bonds, the all-time home run king, might be wrapping up his by then because his trial would have started before Clemens' jury is selected. Now, the thing with Clemens is if he's convicted of six counts, three of making false statements, two of perjury, and one of obstructing Congress, Clemens could face up to 30 years in prison, but really it would probably be closer to 15 months or so. He'd get a $1.5 million fine, maybe something like that. If you remember, now Bonds is in jeopardy of this too, becoming the first baseball star jailed because of a conviction related to performance-enhancing drugs. And this is staying the sport of baseball really, for the past 15 years. So this is a big one. And Clemens could have avoided all this if he voluntarily went and spoke before Congress in 2008. He was a prominent name in baseball. He was named in the Mitchell Report, and I guess he decided that he was going to set the record straight in his mind, and those words forever may end up haunting him. Let me be clear, I have never taken steroids or HGH. So he gets to the courthouse and goes through the whole thing. That, you know, when you go to an arraignment like this, it is mostly, I'm going to call it ceremonial for really anyone, but you have to be fingerprinted, you got to do the paperwork, all that kind of stuff, the rigmarole of it, and then the date is set for the jury. What was so strange and typical Clemens, he's got this 6-count indictment. He's trying to get to South Carolina. He was hoping it would go through fast because he wanted to play in the first round of an amateur golf tournament. And he did make it there. And he shot a 12-over-84, and his wife was with him, apparently. He didn't want to talk about his court appearance. He just talked about the tournament at that time. And I think Clemens is not going to say much at this point. We know what happened. We know the backdrop from before. And now it's a question of the jury selection and all that. What I would be worried about if I was Clemens is, look what happened to the sprinter Marion Jones. She went to jail. She was threatened with years in prison because of an illegal check writing scheme. She finally admitted to lying, and she admitted to lying about taking the drugs too, with the trace back to Balco in San Francisco, the same place that Bonds is linked to. So this is what it sounded like earlier. Clemens was going out of the courtroom. He's done all that stuff, trying to hurry up to get to the golf tournament, and he was followed by like almost like tabloid-esque amount of reporters and cameramen and security guards trying to get him out of the building, to hustle him into the Escalade to take him away. And this is what it sounded like.
Roger, do you think this has been unfair to your reputation?
Stay back.
Yeah. So it did. It sounded like a scene from any celebrity crazy event that they're running to or running from. And we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a little bit of a wait, obviously. April, the jury selection. A lot of people think, you know what, who cares? You look at what's happening with our government, how it's just collapsing, falling apart at the seams, the anger, the frustration across this country. And so what does it prove going after Roger Clemens and the whole steroid thing? But this is such a layup that who is not going to be, at least from the perspective of, oh, we went to Congress, and so now you've got one of your best friends who said that you were taking steroids, and you have this trainer who says you were using steroids, and how dare you, you know, think that you can lie to us. It's easy to make an example of him, in other words. So that's what that's all about. I mean, yeah, you know, the jail time thing. Why should he not get something for at least the perjury? So probably, depending on the way the jury goes, you never know. That's all about the evidence. If I were a betting person, 15 and an orange jumper might be what Clemens is looking to by next summer, that he may end up serving some time for. It's just so crazy to think that from the one perspective, no matter what he thinks or what he's perpetrating or any of that, he could have just avoided it because this was a voluntary situation, his testimony in the first place. Oh, crazy. All right, moving on to bigger, badder things to talk about here on the show. You have to mention the Clemens deal, but other things that I mentioned when we first jumped on the air include something that a lot of us care about, is this hurricane situation. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina through one reporter's eyes who's from Mississippi, and how infuriating it is to her and the people in Mississippi that the president didn't say much about Mississippi and all the damage there. In fact, said nothing. It was all the focus was on New Orleans. I don't know why that happens. I get the loss in the city. I get what happened was terrible. Nobody disagrees with that. And maybe it's because I had people on from Mississippi. I had lots of people on from New Orleans. I had lots of people on from Mississippi. And I knew that the damage was just as devastating. In fact, worse in some cases because of the fact that there weren't any levees there. The levees is what was so damaging to the city of New Orleans. But it was also in the case of some of the low-lying areas in Mississippi, what was so awful there is how property and people were just kaboom, washed away. And I don't know how that gets lost in all of it. All right, so Hurricane Earl right now has winds about 135 miles an hour. And I was looking at the path today. You've got the East Coast definitely in reach of this sucker. Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, all in the path right now of Earl. So there's warnings that have been sent out from FEMA. There's not a hurricane watch, but just FEMA trying to cover their you-know-whats, telling people to be prepared for the weather because the projections definitely show at this point it could end up and down the East Coast. A Hurricane 4 is serious stuff. We already know that. I told you about the winds. That's what you're looking at because that blows the roofs off of houses. It'll knock over power lines, anything, fences, things will go up in the air, debris, whatever. And it's just this idea of being prepared for the hurricane should this happen. Where are you going to go? Do you have food? Do you have water? How are you going to hustle out of it? That was one of the problems with Katrina. When you get hurricane fatigue, or you just don't listen to it because you're not used to it, you might hear about the rip currents, but you're not thinking, oh, well, what does this mean if it hits the Jersey Shore? What does this mean if this hits Cape Hatteras for all of us? In the meantime, there's some other storms forming. There's a tropical storm Fiona. That's in the Atlantic right now, pretty far off the coastline. And they're monitoring Fiona, of course, and where that's going to end up. Earl is the one that's concerning everyone. Bahamas concerned, Turks and Caicos concerned. Already they're seeing the wind and all that sort of stuff. Antigua, same thing. St. Martin, all those places, the hurricane warnings are definitely in place there. And for the U.S. Virgin Islands overall. So pay attention to this if you're listening to me on the East Coast, all of you in Connecticut, and so on and so forth, because this could affect you in the next couple of days. All right, coming up on the flip side, Kathleen Koch from CNN talks to us about Hurricane Katrina and the devastation that was 5 years ago. Hang with us.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous one-year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to MagicYellowFlyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For world-class auto detailing, use what the pros use worldwide. Sparkle Auto. At SparkleAuto.com, the products and services we deliver are as good as it gets. And the knowledge behind them, even better. We always give you our absolute best, like our large 5-foot square chamois. It's Sparkle Auto's hottest selling item, voted by our customers as the most valuable chamois. This imported chamois is made of the highest quality microfiber artificial leather, so no scratching ever. It always remains soft, gentle, and pliable, no matter how much water it's soaks up. The Sparkle Auto chamois will not shrink or grow stiff with age or dryness. See it and buy it now for only $19.95 plus shipping at SparkleAuto.com. That's SparkleAuto.com or call toll-free 866-372-9559. Experience the best customer service and our 110% price guarantee at SparkleAuto.com. Call 866-372-9559 today for good value on top-of-the-line auto detailing products from SparkleAuto.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Vadini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. President Obama, as you know, we talked about this, visited New Orleans, as he said, in an effort to pay tribute to the reconstruction effort that continues today. Now, there's no doubt that Katrina ravaged that city, but it also devastated the whole Gulf Coast region of Mississippi. I have friends from Mississippi whose houses blew away. And Mississippi felt the brunt of the storm. I don't understand why most of the recognition, if you could call it that, for the second year in a row, goes to New Orleans. I have to think that some people feel just a little bit slighted. Award-winning and longtime CNN journalist Kathleen Koch grew up in Bay City, St. Louis, Mississippi. She wrote a book, Rising from Katrina, How My Hometown Lost It All and Found What Mattered. She joins us on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Ocean Springs. Thanks for joining us, Kathleen. We appreciate the time you're there with family. I'm sure everybody has a story to tell. But before we dive into that, am I right that the people in Mississippi should kind of, it's weird to say that, but I think they should feel a little slighted when it comes to remembering the devastation of that horrible hurricane.
Well, Kate, they absolutely do. I mean, you put your finger right on it, because the brunt of the hurricane did hit Mississippi, and very few Americans realize that. The hurricane actually roared on shore at the Louisiana-Mississippi state line and then veered east over Mississippi. So Mississippi, where there are no levees, I want to say that right now, it caught sustained 125-mile-an-hour winds for 6 hours, 145-mile-an-hour gusts, hopscotching tornadoes, and then, worst of all, a 30-plus-foot storm surge, Kate. And it just, it eviscerated virtually every structure along the entire 80-mile-long coast, the first half-mile in, from my house, where I'd grown up in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, all the way over to the far eastern edge, in Pascagoula, 80 miles away. And it is really hurtful to the people who lost everything when the president for the second year refuses not only not to go to Mississippi, but didn't even mention the state in his speech yesterday. You know, his speech yesterday was just shocking.
Yeah, Kathleen, it's interesting. I went back and I looked at some old footage, actually, that I had, and went back and looked at Bush and what Bush did in the last couple of years before his presidency was over. And Bush was careful to do that. He did mention Mississippi, and in fact, he was careful to do that. I shouldn't say careful, but he definitely remembered what happened to the people in that region whenever he was speaking about it. So do you think it's just an oversight? They're just not thinking, okay, it's a New Orleans, or is there something more, if I'm being cynical, to it?
I wish I knew. I will tell you, you brought up a really good point, though I think everyone can agree the federal government's response initially to the hurricane, the Bush administration's response, was terrible. Mm. The president himself, once he caught on, was very cognizant of Mississippi being ground zero. He not only mentioned it in his speeches every year, but every trip he made to New Orleans, where he was protested every time, he always came to Mississippi every single visit, and the people appreciated that. And that was what they expected to continue when President Obama took office. So they're very puzzled, and I am very puzzled, particularly because, as I mentioned in my book, Rising from Katrina, I sat next to his deputy press secretary, a lovely young woman, Jen Psaki, the night of the first Democratic presidential debate when he was running for office. And we discussed Mississippi's story. And then in that first debate, when he talked about the hurricane that hit New Orleans, I popped her a quick email. I said, hey, Jen, remember our conversation? You don't remember Mississippi? And she replied, you know, very caringly, saying, I'm sure that was an inadvertent oversight. You know, it's wrong for politicians to forget Mississippi. And Alabama was even impacted, some areas of the city of Mobile. And so she said, you know, inadvertent oversight, I'll make sure, you know, that this gets up the chain of command, doesn't happen again. Yet 2 years in a row, it continues to happen. So I don't want to believe it's political.
Sure.
I don't want to believe that he's only going to speak to the people who voted for him. President Bush didn't do that, and no president should. After a disaster of this magnitude, politics should not be a part of it at all. You are president of all the people at a time like that, not just the people who voted for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. We're not going to solve that mystery here, though, Kathleen, as you know. So let's talk about what happened when you were covering. I remember this well because I was scrambling and covering it, too, doing a talk show. It was the beginning of this talk show. And you were on CNN, if I'm right, and you were in Alabama. So you weren't. It's weird because you must have been here. You are close to your hometown, but yet you're not there. Were you, when you were doing live shots or getting stuff in between, were you calling and trying to get the latest from your family and what was going on?
Call. You know, that's just it. The phone lines were down. I did, however, as I was stuck in Mobile reporting, where I was very unhappy to be and I was desperate to be in Mississippi, I did get a call from my brother, whose house I'm in right now, at the height of the storm. And he and his family had evacuated toward the storm to Biloxi. But they were in a hospital where my sister-in-law was working at the time, the Keyes Air Force Base Hospital, and they were sheltering there. But it was terrible because he calls me and he says, hey, we're here, but the water's come up. It's flooded the hospital. The generators are out. The power's out. Maureen and the other nurses are keeping people alive using generators. The roof's blown off the maternity ward. The window in this room that we're in is cracking. But and then the phone dies.
Oh.
And you just got to keep doing your job, you know. But it was horrible because I just wanted with all my heart to be in Mississippi, to be in my hometown, to know if my brother and his wife and their four children were okay. But, you know, you had to keep doing your job.
Yeah, no kidding. So the aftermath of that is, and they're in Biloxi, which, of course, Biloxi got slammed, too. So it's just the description he was telling you was probably it was very accurate because I knew a lot of people in Biloxi. So the day after and the days after that, what was that like? Because I'm sure eventually then you were able to go to Mississippi. What was it like for you? Yeah, what was it like for you?
Got to Mississippi. It was so incredible because you've seen the devastation, Kate, and your mind did not want to process what your eyes were seeing. It was just so surreal. It reminded me so much of those black and white photos that you saw as a kid of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and you looked at those photos and you're going, how can that be a city? That looks like nothing but a pile of boards and bricks and beams. It doesn't even resemble a structure. How could that have been a city? And that's what large parts of Biloxi and Gulfport and Long Beach and Pass Christian and Bay St. Louis and Waveland and all these towns up and down the Mississippi Gulf Coast look like. So you just kept wanting to wake up from this horrible nightmare, but you didn't.
Yeah, and, you know, in looking back in 5 years' time, what have you seen from the kind of ghost town, I guess, image you get in your head when you didn't want to believe the things that you saw to where it is today? How much further along now are some of those areas where you grew up?
Okay, Kate, they've come so far, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to write the book. I wanted to tell their story because they, you know, when all the attention focused on New Orleans, people here rolled up their sleeves, like they always do, and they started helping one another, taking care of themselves. And, you know, Mississippi is a hospitality state. You know, they are used to that. That's their tradition. And so, you know, people would go to help neighbors and family and friends before they even went to see what was left of their own home. And so over the past 5 years, and with the help of hundreds of thousands of volunteers, more than 500,000 have poured onto the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and they have rebuilt homes and helped rebuild businesses. The area is coming back. I would say we're more than 50% of the way back. But, you know, we still got a ways to go, and then the oil spill did such damage. Not so much environmentally that we've seen. We didn't get the worst of it here. We're very fortunate. But to the economy, because people just quit coming. You know, April, when the spill occurred, they started canceling reservations. And we had no oil on Mississippi's beaches until the 4th of July weekend. So there were plenty of months when people could have come and enjoyed the restaurants and the beautiful, you know, the scenery and the culture here. And the businesses have just suffered terribly. But
yeah, boy,
it's coming back. It's just going to take, I would guess, about another five be back to where to what I consider normal from having grown up here.
Yeah. Did you find that most of the people came back, though, to Mississippi versus what we've seen with New Orleans, where a lot of people relocated and didn't come back?
Kate, we're at about 80% right now in my home county of Hancock County and also in my town of Bay St. Louis. And I do write about that in the book, how people struggled with the decision, because as much as when you grow up here, you love this place, and it gets under your skin, and it just becomes a part of you, and you just can't bear to leave it. People couldn't bear to risk losing everything again. And so, you know, again, a good fifth of the people said, I can't do it again. I can't. So, you know, but we've got so many people who stayed, and they're resilient, and they're building back stronger, higher, better, smarter, because that's the only way to do it. You don't want to make yourself vulnerable again. And then hopefully next time around, the insurance companies will actually pay for the wind damage that people have the insurance for. That would help, you know. Nobody here wanted money from the taxpayers or from the government. They wanted just what their insurance companies owed them, and far too many insurance companies did not meet their obligations.
Yeah, so some of that did get sorted out, luckily, but still a lot of it was a nightmare. And you know what happened with some people, sadly, even took their own lives. They were so devastated by what went on, which I think is horrible, and the insurance company should be hung up for doing that. And I know
not
that
all
some
of them. You know, there were plenty that did the right thing, but there were far too many who didn't, Kate.
Yeah.
And it is, that was the part of the second tragedy of Katrina. You know, people were not, just didn't have their, lose their all their belongings and their homes in the hurricane, but then they had to fight this horrific multi-year battle to get what they were owed.
Yeah,
they've
no
done
kidding.
The right thing. They have their wind insurance and their flood insurance. But
ridiculous.
Many insurance companies pretended this was an all-water event.
Yeah, no kidding. Pick up the book, everybody listening to America Tonight, Rising from Katrina, How My Hometown Lost It All and Found What Mattered. Kathleen Koch, thanks so much. We appreciate you joining us once again here on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate. I'll be back anytime. Had a great time.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
Reminder, if you have any thoughts on the show or you have a nominee for Daily Salute, flip them to me at americatonight.net. We do a mailbag segment each and every show, too, so there's a chance we could end up perusing your email and reading it on the air. Something else worth mentioning here from the housekeeping side of the ledger on ATN, we have Nailed the Score coming back on Thursday, not this Thursday, the Thursday after Labor Day. We'll be back with Nailed the Score, and it's the beginning of the season and your chance to win a huge prize from America Tonight. If, in fact, your guess of the random football game of the week that's chosen is correct, but let me warn you, it's not so easy to nail the score. You think 27-17, 17-zip, 17-14, but then you got to pick the right team, or you come close, but close doesn't count, only in horseshoes, not when we do nail the score, but we have a whole lot of fun. All right, I mentioned this at the top. Let me give you the payoff here, and there really is no payoff. I've said this too many times. I'm a huge fan of the egg. I love to eat omelets and egg sandwiches and all that kind of stuff, right? I'm like one of those people that I actually like breakfast probably better than any other meal. Sometimes I do the breakfast for dinner thing. And I have to say, I kind of have stayed away from the eggs. It starts with these farms in Iowa, right? So now the FDA is saying that you've got rodents like mice, rats, that kind of stuff, piles of manure, uncaged birds, and flies, what the FDA said, flies too numerous to count were found at the two farms at the heart of this whole recall thing of a half a billion eggs. Half a billion eggs. So the FDA says this is what, you know, when we connected all the dots and we were looking at it, this is what we found. Now you got these salmonella outbreaks that so far over 1,500 people have fallen ill with. I just can't even imagine having to deal with that. So it was the chicken feed in the barn. It was the walkway areas of some of the farms. And they're talking about an even bigger inspection program of the Iowa farms and some others in the next couple of weeks. So now, of course, the FDA is all over this. Ooh, food supply, people upset, all that kind of stuff. So now we got to come down on the egg industry. Even though they've been warned about this before and all this other stuff. And what they found is that they also found salmonella in the water used to wash the eggs at the Hillendale spot, which was one of the places. And they don't know whether the eggs were washed in contaminated water or if the water was ruined by the eggs, but it doesn't matter. The water, washing all the eggs, rinsing with the water that is supposed to be the final step, a sanitation step with the chlorine, but it was anything but it. And how about this? You know, I mentioned the manure, but as you dig deeper, pardon the pun, into this whole chicken manure thing, you know they had piles up to 8 feet high? In fact, it was so bad, you had mounds of manure that stopped the doors from closing. So that, of course, allowed other animals to come inside. And the birds were using the pile to go to the egg-laying area. And then you had apparently maggots that they found. I mean, this is not pretty, what I'm describing to you here. And I guess we knew it was going to be something horrible, right? But I didn't think it would be this fast. You had people who didn't wear the protective clothing you're supposed to wear, which seems hardly high on the list when you talk about the 8-foot pile of chicken manure and all that other stuff and the liquid that you're supposed to clean the eggs with and the uncaged chickens tracking it in from one hen house to another. So now they've got these new egg safety rules that kicked in, I guess, mid-July, and that was after the outbreak happened. So what the FDA is trying to tell everybody is, whoa, don't worry, now the possibility of a similar salmonella outbreak, not so great, because we've already taken and adopted some rules, some safety things that will make a big difference. So now Hillendale, what happens to them? They say that they're going to address all these issues that have been raised. But let me tell you, if I was a distributor, I'm done. I am voiding the contract. Why do I want these eggs from this Iowa farm? I'll find another distributor. And I think the idea that there are so many farms in this country and there's so many other ways where you could produce the eggs locally or closer to the backyards of where they're being shipped, I'd go that way. But if I were absolutely somebody who had the tainted cartons tied to Iowa, I would make a change. And that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. Whatever their action plans are, I think a lot of people will bail. A lot of distributors will bail on getting the eggs from there. Whew, I know I would. All right, if you have any thoughts on eggs, are you eating the eggs? I'm curious about that. 800-259-5791, because I admittedly have to tell you that I've stopped for fear that this had spread somewhere, even though, you know, we know there are certain cartons to whatever, but the more I started to hear about what the FDA was uncovering, the more I didn't like what I was hearing, and I thought, ugh, I think I'm going to back off of that for a while. You know what? Cereal's sounding great right now. Give me some of that oatmeal, even. That sounded pretty good. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Sam, are you a big egg eater?
Maybe once a week.
mostly once a week, though. Do you have, like, scrambled eggs over easy, whatever?
Depending on what I'm in the mood for. I mean, sometimes the synagogue where Julie's father goes to, they have, like, sometimes they'll have a Sunday morning speaker or something. So I'll go, morning prayer, and then they'll have breakfast, and they'll have hard-boiled eggs.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, this whole egg thing in the States is terrible. You heard me just describe the conditions were awful. I can't imagine anybody would want to get eggs from them again. That if I'm a distributor, I wouldn't want to do it.
Okay, getting back to a certain country, that a certain nephew. I spent time on a kibbutz, and what they do is after they take out the chickens, they clean, they shovel out all the manure, every last little dirt. You know, disinfect it so they can get rid of any germs. And same thing with the hen lane, with the egg lane, with the kibbutzes that have egg lane chickens. After they've been taken away, they also clean the machines through and through. I mean, it is so clean. It is so clean. A doctor could perform surgery on.
That's good.
Oh yeah, you know, and they do have separate uniforms. Like if I look on my worksheet for that day, I have to work in the chicken coop. They have a special room where you have to change into a special clothes, so you don't carry germs, or they don't carry, or you don't walk in with germs, or you don't catch anything from the chicken. So I've never heard of it happening in Europe, and it's never happened here that I know of. I mean, chickens have been called back, but never chicken eggs. So far we've been lucky.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the salmonella is not good, and you don't know if you have it, and then it's the whole thing of uncovering it, and then it's tracking it, and it's the tracking time and how many other people get sick that's so scary.
Yeah, you know, big time. Anyway, I did speak to a certain nephew of mine.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, just to get off the track for a second, he knows that BB's coming here to this neck of the woods talking about peace and how, you know, there's supposed to be a moratorium on settlements. I like the way he put it. He said the Toronto Maple Leafs have a better chance of winning a Stanley Cup than this happening. you know, I was going to throw hockey in there, right?
I know, but you know what? The analogy works, I think, this time around, certainly, because
yeah.
I agree with that opinion. I don't see it either. I do not see it.
No, I mean, it's like, you know, is Obama looking through rose-colored glasses? Is in Prime Minister not Netanyahu going to look through? I think
no.
It will never happen.
It will never happen, and Netanyahu's not going to jump on that bandwagon. You're absolutely right on that.
Right.
Sammy,
right.
You have a good one.
Okay, take care.
Since we brought up politics at the end here, I'll leave you with this thought from Charles de Gaulle. We have some thoughts on him. He said, in order to become the master, the politician poses as the servant. Think about that.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.